Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I hope everybody enjoyed their, if you want to call it a day off, or hopefully everybody kind of, recognized the significance and importance and contribution that Martin Luther King provided. It was pointed out that I didn't mention it. But here's the question. How many people are going to point out the fact that on President's Day, I probably won't mention anything about the presidents? One of the things that I look at history and I look at these great men, and as a matter of fact, I'm going to talk about President's Day, Martin Luther King, and so forth. I do not believe that it was their desire. As a matter of fact, I know for a fact, at least speaking for Washington, Jefferson, and the rest of the framers, not one of these men wanted their face on a bill or on a coin. They looked at society historically and thought that that was a evil thing, that we looked to them as something like bigger than life. They were just men that were doing what the best that they could in trying to assist this country in getting right. I believe Martin Luther King was the same kind of man. I don't believe that he wanted people to, celebrate a day for him. I think that he wants people to celebrate a day for liberty, just like the framers. They all stood for some of the very exact same principles, individual liberty and individual sovereignty. But some people like to poke at the framers in the eye and say, hey, look, those guys own slaves. Anybody that does that does not know the true context, especially the context of the Constitutional Convention, because many of the slaveholders and many of the slave owners were willing in all the states except for three that were delegates, were willing to put it into the Constitution to actually end slavery. You have to understand this. Madison, who owned slaves, said, let's end slavery now. Mason, Washington, they were all wanting to actually end it and literally create a new surge in population by allowing these men and women to be free, what we call freemen. And so the problem was that the three states, Georgia and the two Carolinas, I've talked about this before, but those three states demanded that if they did not, if they did not allow them to maintain slavery, they would leave the Union. And I truly believe that they did not have faith in the Lord at that point in time, or they would have challenged those states and said, go ahead, do it on your own. We can literally live without you. From Virginia north, we will be fine. Oh, by the way, be careful of that neighbor down there in Florida, because the Spaniards, they're pretty brutal. Look at what they did into Mexico, and look at how they treated those folks in Central and South America. The Spaniards and Portugals were very cruel and mean people. And so they didn't call Cortez the killer, the murderer, for nothing. I mean, he was a very brutal man. And so I truly believe that it wouldn't have taken long. And I believe Georgia and the Carolinas would have come back. Or what would have happened is, as they became, fodder or possibly sucked up by the empire, then the northern states would have literally rolled right over those states, taken them back and said, okay, so you blew it. And now, we've just ended slavery for you. Would have literally forced that whole issue instead of having to go through the what I'll call the cleansing, because look at how many people had to die, the sacrifice of blood that had to occur so that all men that lived in the Americas, at least in this United States, could be free. And unfortunately, we still had other problems that were still, lingering out there, such as the Native Americans and so forth, the indigenous people, whatever. I'm not trying to marginalize anything. I just don't have time, because all of these topics can easily consume us. But the fact of the matter is, These men did not believe that what they were doing was something that required any, they did not want to be looked at as like gods, demigods, religious, you know, artifacts or anything like that. They, you know, don't mind, they probably sure don't mind the history of being taught and those things that they did, because that's how we learn, but they definitely did not want to be glorified with monuments and those things. And sure enough, what did we do? It's almost like Israel was able to live 400 years with the rule of judges. And then all of a sudden they go, you know what? We've got to have a king. And that was the beginning of the downfall of Israel. If you kind of look at how things went, they only, I think, went maybe 200 years before they were dragged off into Babylon. It's interesting how we, you know, we tend to be a creature that you give us enough rope and we tend to, you know, we always seem to be able to find a way to hang ourselves. That being said, this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as 1798Part2.org as well as RepublicReview.org. So welcome back, and I hope you had a good productive day on a day of productivity, where your employer is not having to actually, you know, raise their prices and do things because of government manipulation that requires and mandates that you actually have to, you know, pay people wages for non-productivity. That's always bothered me. I think that mandatory vacations, you know, should be left between the employer and the employee. But again, that's me. I don't know if I'm going to get into Trump campaign promises. We will see. I definitely do not have the time to get into the militia. That's probably going to be a couple of weeks. I'm just kind of putting it out there. We'll probably get to the militia in a couple of weeks or so. As you know, I have the crowdfunding. I'm not going to go into all of that. If you want to support and help us cover our costs on travel and those few things that we're trying to do, we'd appreciate it. If you want to get involved, by all means, it's info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. We would appreciate any assistance and help, however you feel that we're worthy of that. With that, I also want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank you for listening and continuing to listen. I appreciate your listenership, as well as the fact that you're helping this show grow by you talking about these things that we talk about. As I always do, I happened to scan the news, and as I looked through the news today, there was zero. There was no sign, even though we had a blood red moon, a blood red wolf moon, I think it was Sunday. We still don't have any sign that there is, that may be a significant religious sign or cultural sign or whatever, but we don't have any signs in the news that is indicating that the federal government is going to get rid of any of their tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers that they have usurped from the states. So what that means is that we're going to have to do it. We are going to have to do this. If it's going to get done, it is on us to get it done. And so there's plenty of things that we can do, but we can always consume ourselves with the distractions, the little problems du jour, whether, unfortunate people, incidents happen where people die, people get hurt, or people claim to have been hurt by somebody that, you know, there's a lot of those supposedly Me Too movements that have taken down a lot of good conservative politicians, and then come to find out, well, where are all the charges? I'm really happy, and I hope that we go after anybody that has made false claims. And as a matter of fact, I've taken a stand on that. We actually have to go after those people who have made an assertion that was a false claim, and make them serve the time that that person would have served the time had they actually been guilty of that. By doing that, I think it literally forces a cognitive process on a person to say, hey, there are consequences to what I'm going to do. And if I get caught, I have to accept the consequences, period. And there you go. So let me move forward a little bit. I mentioned yesterday that we just can't shut the education system down. I don't see where there is just enough of a consensus. I mean, if you listen to the show, you know how I rail on the education system, the national indoctrination system that we have. and the evils, the destruction that it is doing to our society. But the problem is, and I said this yesterday, we can't shut that education system down. I would love to do it, and the only way it can be done is if the states actually stand up and do it. In other words, we can do it, but we can only do it with Republic Review. Now, Trump could do it, but I don't believe he has exhibited the political courage to go after those things. In some respects, he kind of is a populist and wants to make sure that he doesn't rock the boat in going after the fringe, because I'm kind of a fringe element on this. Way too many people do not see the insidiousness of the education system, at least not enough. We're still kind of a fringe out there. Maybe, got to understand, there are 330 million people. So even if you have 30 million people or 33 million people, and that's a lot, that's like the whole city of L.A. or that whole surrounding area of L.A., the suburbs and everything else going all the way out to Riverside and, you know, that sprawling metropolis of Los Angeles. That right there is only one, what is that, one-tenth? 33 million? No, yeah, that's like one-tenth. And so it's a small fraction. Even 3 million is a lot of people. You try to put 3 million in a room. There's not even a stadium that will accommodate, you know, 3 million. And so even 1% is a huge number. Any percentage, a small percentage of a big number is always a big number in itself. And so there's just no way there's the political will and the consensus to getting that done. We will be back with more information. And it's, again, another follow-up day of what's it going to take. And we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. So one of the things I wanted to talk about, because we kind of have talked about this a lot over the past year, and that is senators and their role. Senators' roles, even though the process in selecting a senator is to, instead of being appointed by the state legislators, they are directly elected by the people. However, they are still supposed to be accountable to the state legislators. They are supposed to be supporting the state issues, not the issues of the people. The only thing that had changed is the selection process. So everybody said, well, it'd be better. We're not changing anything else. We're only changing how they are to be selected. They are still supposed to be. And as a matter of fact, it was very clear in the ratification debates that senators were supposed to be doing the bidding for the state legislators. That was the whole purpose of the Senate, that they were the representatives of their states, not of the people. If they want to be representatives of the people, then they should be in the House of Representatives and run perpetually for an election every 2 years instead of 6 years. But what they did was they just changed the process. But in doing so, they undermined the accountability of the Senate to the states. And so the states have been languishing. And that's what a lot of people have been trying to drive home. And I think most of you already understand this. However, it doesn't change anything. And I believe that there is ground for states being able to actually start telling their senators to say, hey, look, these are the things this is how we want you to vote on these issues. We want you to actually, you know, nominate these people and so forth. I want to see state legislators become very boisterous and verbose in actually telling their senators what they need to be doing. And in doing that, I truly believe that you'll find that the senators will actually have zero empathy towards what the state is doing. And I believe the states can actually go down the path of, you know, literally recalling these senators to say, look, you may be elected by these people, but you are supposed to be accountable to us, even though we're not your, you know, the process of how you get seated. Nothing has changed in your responsibilities. The 17th Amendment did not alleviate your need to be responsible to taking care of our needs. You're not accountable to the globalists. You're supposed to be accountable to us. And I'd like to see states actually start really asserting that if you don't do these things, we will recall you. And then watch the state and senators go down this path of saying, well, we don't have to do that. What I believe this will do is it'll start waking people up to saying, you know what? We're not getting the representation that the Senate is supposed to be providing. And ergo, we need to go down the path of rescinding the 17th Amendment. I think that there's an academic argument within the ratification debates where they clearly delineated the role of the Senate and how they were supposed to be taking care of the state's business at the federal level. So another thing that I noticed that, you know, is kind of like jumping pay grades. I find it very interesting how the House is going to investigate Judge Kavanaugh for perjury. This new representative in the, I guess it's in the committee over the justice or what have you, kind of came out and said, we're going after him for perjury. Well, you know what? Then that would be a huge poke in the eye of the Senate. And as a matter of fact, if they do that, then I think that the Senate needs to actually take responsibility. And if that's the case, then I think that the Senate needs to actually, you know, straighten their finger up, maybe put some, you know, some tape, you know, some, you know, a splint or something, kind of reinforce that finger, because there's a lot of congressmen that need to get poked in the eye. And I believe that the Senate needs to start going down and cleaning up Congress. I believe that what we need to do, because if anybody needs to investigate, you know, a justice, I would say Kagan would be the first person, because she failed to recuse herself off of the Obamacare ruling. And obviously she was, you know, in the tank big time, because she was in the tank prior to being on the Supreme Court for Obamacare in the position she's held. She should have recused herself, and I believe that the Senate should actually go after her, and basically, because she failed to recuse herself, have her removed from the bench because of her behavior. And I believe the Senate should also start looking into House members who may be enemies of the state. And when I say not the state, you know, federal state, the state, and the Constitution and the Constitutional Republic. I think it is time in America that we have another Senator McCarthy. Anybody that has been programmed to believe that Senator McCarthy was wrong, then you have failed to look at the empirical information, because everything that has come out since then from the Venona Project, as well as all of the other data. You know, look at Hollywood today. You're telling me they're not communist? The evidence is overwhelming that he was absolutely right. Communism was steeped. The problem was he was way too late. And by the time he started getting involved, it was, you know, the deep state had already been well entrenched. And that all happened, you know, even before FDR and Eleanor, who were communists. And Eleanor was actually, I believe, a KGB operative. And that's not just me saying that. If you start looking at the Venona Project and why FDR shut it down, you will actually start understanding the fact that, you know, we've had even Dewey was a huge communist, and he was supposedly a representative of the government as well. All of these folks that have somehow happened to get into these, and it's a mystery to me, other than the fact that the deep state has been self-propelling itself constantly. I mean, even Nixon and Kennedy were really, really good friends. And the interesting thing is, I think Nixon was more of a deep state than Kennedy. And I think the aberration between Kennedy was the fact that he wasn't necessarily beholden to the deep state, because it was Joe Kennedy that got him in there. He was his dad. And so that's why he wasn't necessarily playing by the rules of the deep state. And that was probably one of the big reasons why, you know, Bush was in Houston or was in Texas at the time. I mean, there was, as we start to unleash all of the information that Trump has been able to unleash regarding the assassination of John F. Kennedy, we'll start to realize that there are lots of players that are still in positions today that are part of the deep state. And you can see they're just uncovering more and more and more of this. As people started at the very beginning of this whole, when Trump got in office and, oh, it's just a few people at the FBI. I'm sorry. I don't see that. I see that the whole system, from the State Department, the FBI, even the Department of Justice, there are so many bad players that I just think that, you know, there's got to be a purging, because there's way too many people that have made a long-term career in running down the status quo and so forth. One of the things I think I got enough time, so I'm going to get into this. Aaron Sorkin, who came out and kind of called out, you know, all these new Democrats, a bunch of brats and so forth, and they're kind of ruining it, and they're kind of self-effacing themselves in some of the things that they're doing. Well, Oso the Communist, or I should say Cortez the Second, or Cortez the Murderer the Second, had literally basically called him out. And literally, the way she was behaving in how she was calling him out and so forth, she was acting in the precise manner that characterized, that he was characterizing, I should say, Aaron Sorkin, in regarding how these people are acting as brats. But the interesting thing is, he came out and said, as he was trying to kind of, you know, calm these brats down, like Oso the Communist, he says he's confident that Ms. Ocio Cortez is going to rise to the considerable challenge and serve in the House with distinction. I don't think, you know, he may be using really nice words, but I don't think she's capable of serving in the House with distinction in any other form than trying to be an enemy to the Constitution. Seriously, Oso the Communist is going to be committing treason on a regular basis, just like many of her colleagues who are doing things that are absolute violations of the Constitution, and they don't care, and they're going to continue to do so until they're held accountable, or until they actually are successful in destroying and putting aside our Constitution and our Republic. The evidence is very, very clear. As I've been telling you, if it is not an enumerated power, they have no power to do so, and they continue to do so, and they're building upon literally a house of cards. And this house of cards has become such a huge castle that the day is coming soon when that house of cards, or castle of cards, is going to fall. And so the question is, How's it going to fall? Are you going to let it fall into the hands of the globalists for them to come in and sweep us up and be able to say, that's okay, don't worry, everybody's going to be okay, and you're going to be able to live, you know, a very similar lifestyle, but don't worry about it? Or are we going to insist that we take control of our country and our constitution again and actually put us back on the track that the framers had placed us on, you know, well over 200 years ago in charting this course of a limited general government and an unlimited state government? What's it going to take to get you to help us move in that direction instead of into the arms of the globalists? What's it going to take? I'll let you think about that. And when we come back, I'll have a few more things for you. And actually, I want to go through the bounty on cod fishery bounties and payments. And so we'll be right back after this. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And as I was going out, I told you that I wanted to get through, and I wasn't going to read it. What I wanted to do is go through some highlights of the bounty payments for cod fisheries. This was a debate in the House of Representatives on 3 February 1792. And this is important because this is where Madison makes the most shock value argument that literally drives home this whole point of how limited the federal government is supposed to be, and kind of warns them if they start going down this path, the most evil thing will be unleashed. And I'll get into that. But before I do, I still haven't heard back from President Trump or the White House regarding literally using these unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers that the federal government is exercising, such as the EPA, education, HHS, housing and urban development, and all these things. If he starts actually putting those on the chopping block and literally just says, we're done, we're putting these things away because these agencies are unconstitutional, and the states need to be responsible for all of these things. They already have similar agencies. They need to become accountable. So that means that they need to start keeping more of their own money. Anyway, as I've said this, I would love to see him actually, because it doesn't look like there's going to be a bargaining chip thrown out there. So I'm going to send probably another message and provide, you know, some very, very, you know, if you want to call them pithy points or what have you, but, you know, just send like highlights. Please search for this word in this link, and you will find what Madison has to say or what John Marshall has to say regarding the jurisdiction of the federal government. Don't believe me. Believe John Marshall when he was arguing for the passing of the Constitution. Don't believe John Marshall after he became the all-knowing eye of the Supreme Court, because at that point he started self-aggrandizing his role because no one dared challenge him, and especially because they knew that nobody had access to these ratification debates and nobody could remember what was said and what was agreed to. That was 30 years ago when he started making some of his assertions. You got to remember 1787 is when they argued it, right? And so in 1817, when he started coming out with some of his landmark cases, 18, 19, and so forth. That was 30 years after the fact, folks. Do you remember 30 years ago some contractual agreement that you might have been a participant in that took, you know, days and days and days? Well, how about those people that heard about it, you know, secondhand or third hand, or never even, you know, it was just kind of assumed because that's kind of how it was glossed over. You didn't get all the details. Well, that's how they literally started exploiting the lack of information and the lack of intelligence. And so that's why we're in this situation. So I will get into that, but I just want to make sure that, you know, I want to keep poking at this. I want literally you to understand that maybe if you start sending messages to the White House and say, why don't you get rid of the EPA? Because they have the communications right there. Just go to contact and just say, get rid of the EPA. Bring the Democrats to the bargaining table by getting rid of some of the unconstitutional powers that the federal government is exercising. If you believe they're constitutional, show me in the Constitution where the states have delegated to the federal government the ability to regulate us over environmental purposes. There's nothing there. It's the same thing with education, the same thing with transportation, so forth and so on. So, you know, sometimes you have to, you know, poke and prod people to lead, but it comes down to the political will. I don't think, because this is a fringe, we may be right. There's absolutely nothing that can prove us wrong. So I know that we're infallible, or it's irrefutable. Let's just say that it's irrefutable of what we're asserting. And so why is it that it's being ignored? Well, it comes down to political will. Sometimes the leader at hand doesn't have the intestinal fortitude to do what needs to be done or what's supposed to be done, right? So that's why it's important that it's just not me. That's why it's important that it's just not a couple of people. It's important to get everybody who believes in, you know, making this change and getting back onto the right course, that they participate. So what's it going to take? Well, I don't know. Maybe there's another way of going about this. If you look at history, there's never been a case in history where a nation without people standing up and taking control and demanding, you know, to set the course right. There's never been a case in time where that has occurred where that didn't fix the problem. Contrarily, if you look at the trends and tendencies throughout history, most people just, you know, it's like boiling the frog. Most people just succumb to their destiny. However, they've been set up. They, oh, well, is it so bad? Yeah, it's not that bad, is it? And that's why I'm telling you, we're on a catastrophic course. And I'm hoping that the minority that I can wake up in these dark red states, and I'm hoping you'll help us with this. I'm hoping that people will recognize not only the value, not only the merit, but the necessity of doing this. Now, Meng Wanzhou is coming to the United States. If you haven't heard, it looks like, you know, they're going to extradite her. The question I have, and questions I have, is will we treat her as the elitist that she is in China? In other words, are we going to treat her with kid gloves, or is she really going to have a day in court to face justice for the fraud charges of how she handled Iran and transferring technologies and so forth with them right here in the United States? I think it's interestingly enough that the Canadian court hearing has revealed that she should be tried based on the evidence. Huh, how about that? So the question is, how are we going to deal with this? Are we going to cave? Are we going to buckle over? Are we going to use her as a political pawn to get them? Because bottom line, she's wanted for crimes and she should be tried for crimes. But China is not a nation of laws and or justice. They're about political progress. They're about taking, you know, every piece of, you know, territory, land, and conquest that they possibly can. Just like Russia, they're still in conquest mode. So what this means is that China is going to begin to start taking American hostages to protect one of the Communist Party loyalists and a member of an elite communist family. Here's the paradigm that I've talked about that is really troubling me, because too many Chinese embrace their historical class system where a certain family, a certain breed is above everybody else in society. They truly believe it's almost like a caste system, that those people are above us all and we have to carry their shoes. We have to carry their baggage. We have to carry, you know, their weight and so forth because they're superior to them. And I pointed this out. I think it was Senator Lott that went over there as an ambassador. And, you know, I think he's from Washington State. I believe he's Chinese. And I believe he was ridiculed by the Chinese. Look at, here's a nobody they're sending because he's carrying his own baggage. I mean, they actually printed that in the paper. That was a highlight to them, because here is somebody that does not merit, because he's not perceived as a superior person in their culture. They live underneath superior beings. In other words, it's almost like there's these families like Meng Wanzhou, who has, you know, a family that is considered like demigods in their society. That's why they're elitist. That's why they are, you know, the loyalists to the Communist Party, because it's all about elite control and power. So we'll see how it pans out. We'll see if she actually has her day in court and she is actually serving for the political justice and so forth. So today I have kind of like a climatology alert, and I told you I'm going to try to come up with a different song each time when I, you know, kind of play this. So we'll see. But here is today's song for you on climatology, and it's a Grand Funk song. Maybe you'll recognize it. And the interesting thing is that, as they said, you know, mankind won't live long if we don't stop doing what's wrong. And it's all about the earth. And at least that was the religion that was coming forth of the rock and roll eras back in the 60s and 70s. And look at it's become even a deeper, more heartfelt religion with politicians now getting involved. They're the rock stars of today, right? So that's your climatology alert, because I want to ask you something. Is it me or has anyone else noticed the increase in volcanic activity and seismic activity? Have you noticed that? I'm going to talk about that when we come back, because that is a systemic problem that has nothing to do with mankind. It has everything to do with the Earth core. I'm at a hard break, though, as you can tell. And so with that, I will be right back after a couple of promos. So please hang on.
Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. This show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. I want you to do the research, and if you do, you'll find that I am right on this, because I have some really good friends that are geologists, and they will tell you that over the past 20 or so years, we have seen a significant increase in volcanic activity as well as magma flow, earthquakes, seismic activity, and so forth. And so let me ask you, what do you think the cause of that is? Do you really believe that that is all because you're starting your car? Mankind is polluting actually less, even though China is increasing its pollution. The United States and other Western nations have really polluted a little bit more or a little bit less. To truth be told, if you take the particulates that come from, you know, society, from industries and so forth, it barely hits the surface compared to these volcanic blasts like Mount St. Helens. The amount of pollutants that that thing put up in the air, into the atmosphere, metallic and all sorts of things, is just overwhelming. And so the question is, you know, why is it that we ignore the fact that we happen to be riding in the biggest engine here, which is the Earth? The Earth is a huge engine, that molten core is an engine, and it actually has cycles. When you want to warm up, you know, you turn your car on, you turn your heater up or what have you, you do something to cause, you know, that heating effect. The Earth core actually has cycles, and there are literally correlations between the Earth venting. There are 45,000 shield volcanoes at the bottom of the ocean. And those things have been venting at an astronomical rate compared to in the previous, you know, years before. So something's going on where we're starting to see a lot more activity. But the fact is that it's always being pointed to mankind, man-made problems. And they're talking about Greenland and the ice melting faster and faster. That has probably more to do with the geological environment than it has to do with the human environment. And so why is it that they're going down this path of convincing us? Because that's how they plan on taking control. That is the tool. That is the mechanism that they're going to use, that they need to control us. And by the time we realize that we've been duped, it'll be too late. So don't buy into, you know, these rock stars that don't know anything. They're basically taking bad information and regurgitating this. And when I say rock stars, I mean these politicians, these activists who only have one goal in mind, and that is to obtain control over you and I. Another interesting thing that I wanted to point out is that the Supreme Court on Tuesday, yesterday, allowed President Trump the broad restrictions on transgendered people serving in the military to go into effect while the legal battle continues in the lower courts. And so it basically means that the lower court systems are not going to be able to stop because the Supreme Court said, yeah, go ahead. And so how this all pans out is, you know, question is, should our military be a proving ground for social experiments, which, you know, the history proves that when you go down that path, because the Roman Empire went down that path, and when you go down that path, you degradate the real purpose of having a military. That purpose is not appeasing people and making them happy so that they can, you know, get their rocks off however they want to get their rocks off. It's about killing people. It's about fighting, taking land, taking objectives, winning wars. And it has nothing to do with, you know, spreading some social experiment and inflicting that upon people. And so I think it's really important that you start looking at, you know, how the progressives expect control over these things. They expect to be able to control every facet of our lives, from, you know, who can get to do what, as well as, you know, the fact that whether you can burn any fire in your house or you have to freeze to death. They want to control every facet, not only of the means of production, but the means of consumption as well. And when they get to that point, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to die, because history proves that when communism takes control and starts having those types of controls, people die in the course of that. People starved in both China and both the Russia or Soviet Union and so forth. Pol Pot literally took people out and killed them. So did Stalin. Millions of people were either murdered or were just left to die because they didn't have a people problem. They had too many people. Well, that was a people problem if you look at it in human capital in that perspective. But it's an insidious paradigm, and that's what the communists do. And so that's why labeling Oso the communist, because she is a communist. Let's put the appropriate label on, you know, the appropriate people, because we need to make sure that they wear it, that they own it. Now, so one of the things that I wanted to get into, and I've got just a few minutes left. A true leader would recognize the true elixir as far as the one cure for America. And the fact is, we can no longer continue to numb people of the problems and pain of life, but allowing them to be incentivized into no longer being entitled or receiving entitlements. And the whole point, and the reason I'm setting this up, is back in 1792, they wanted to create an entitlement for the cod fisheries by paying a bounty payment to help them, you know, get through their tough times. And so they were literally going to provide like federal incentives or welfare to these cod fisheries. And apparently they were having a tough time. Anyway, Madison said this, in his judgment, in my judgment, contrary to the true meaning, even strike at the characteristics of principles of the Constitution. He said, but even to grant them under a power by virtue of which they may do nothing, which they may think conclusive to the general welfare clause. And that's that part of, you know, to promote the general welfare and defense of the Constitution. He says this, I, sir, have always conceived, I believe those who proposed the Constitution conceived, it is still more fully known and more material to observe, those who ratified the Constitution conceived that this is not an indefinite government deriving its powers from the general terms prefixed in the specified powers, the general welfare and defense clause, but a limited government tied down to the specified powers which explain and define the general terms. That if the terms, that if the terms be taken in the broad sense, they maintain the particular powers afterwards so carefully and distinctly enumerated would be nothing without meaning and must go for nothing. It would be absurd to say, first, the Congress may do what they please, and then that they may only do this particular thing. After giving Congress power to raise money and apply it to all purposes which they may pronounce necessary to the general welfare, it would be absurd to say that at least to superadd a power to raise armies, to provide fleets, etc. In fact, the meaning of the general terms in question must either be sought in subsequent enumerations, which limits the details of them, or they convert the government from one limited to hitherto supposed to the enumerated powers into a government without any limits at all. And so that was completely contrary. There was nothing there at all where they said, you know, hey, we're going to just allow them to do anything. He goes on, and I'm going to try to paraphrase because I got just a little less than 2 minutes. He goes on and uses the shock value. He says, if we continue to use that argument, then we will eventually get to a point where we will take over religion as well as education. And that's where the rooms go, you know, because that was evil for government to be involved, because they knew that that would be the swinging doors wide open to tyranny of government. Because when government literally owns religion, and is literally forcing religion and forcing paradigms down people's throat, that is when true tyranny reigns. And so he went down this path of saying, eventually we'll be able to actually start dictating curriculum. We'll actually start being able to dictate every facet of the human welfare from the purse strings of Congress, and literally start limiting the abilities of the courts and the states of being able to do anything for themselves. That Congress would then become the beast. And my friends, that's where we're at. We have obtained a government that has become a beast because they have no regard for limitations. They will do and list anything they will to us. We have to take a stand. So here's a good question. What is it going to take? The framers, Madison most particularly, said such eloquent and succinct arguments in identifying that these problems will occur if we allow them to go unchecked. And so I want you to think about that. I'm hoping that you finally have the courage to maybe say today, this year, I am taking a stand. I am not going to be allowing the government to roll over us anymore. So I hope you're willing to start standing up, joining us, and getting involved. I'm out of here for the day. I'm G.R. Mobley. I'm Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.